Another ministry that we have supported has in their information flyer, on the cover, it says, know what you believe, why you believe it, how to live it, and how to share it. It is easier to live what you believe if you know what it is that you believe. We encourage you here at Daleville Christian Church to know what it is you believe. And so each week we have an affirmation of our faith taken from God's Word. Today's affirmation of faith from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 16. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. God's word for today is from the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in the 14th chapter, just the third verse. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. I plan to touch on the verse and its meaning for us today, but that will be near the end of the sermon. I preached a message entitled, The Future of the Church, back in October 2015. I return to this same title, The Future of the Church, but because it's a return to this topic, we'll add, and we'll call this one Part 2. I discussed at that time, back in 2015, some of the statistics about the churches in America. Those statistics have not changed. Church membership is shrinking. Churches are closing. Fewer people claim to be Christians, and fewer people attend worship. Mind you, when we talk about statistics, we are talking about the institutional part of the church. The church, despite what everyone says and so often thinks, the church is not the building. The church is not this building. Remember the All Saints banner we have out at the end of October? Those names represent the real church. You are the real church. I still read media stories, headlines like, New Brewery Opens in a Church. No, a brewery did not open in a church. The brewery opened in a building that used to be used as a church building. I also read that there was a gymnastics training facility located in a church, and I thought, oh, you mean like they have Zumba classes or jazzercise? No, the reporter meant that the facility that the gym training takes place in used to serve as a church building. Church buildings are more and more frequently showing up on realtors' lists as for sale. Historic church buildings are increasingly on endangered lists of architectural treasures. But this misinformation from the reporters and the headline makers is a reminder to all of us that the church is two things. First and foremost, the church is a mission. Jesus came to earth with a mission to save people from their sins. Jesus made it possible to save people through His death and resurrection, and Jesus gave us, His church, the task of letting everyone else know that Jesus has come to save us all. That was Jesus' mission, and that is our mission. The large part of that mission does not take place here in this building. But the churches early on, even before 100 years had passed after Jesus had walked the earth, churches, the people, wanted their own buildings. Churches, that is the church people carrying out the mission of Jesus, wanted their own place and their own space for worship and teaching, a place they could get together and gather together. A headquarters for the mission, you might say. A base, a mission base. You've heard of an army base, an air force base, a navy base. Everyone at one of those bases leaves the base to serve. And certainly they all train at the base before they go out to serve. My son-in-law has left his army base to serve for 6 months in Africa. His base is still there. And my son-in-law plans to return to that base when he concludes his service in Africa. You and I return to base every week, don't we? So the church is a mission, and because we have a base, the church is also an institution. We, the Jesus Mission people, own buildings. We own land. We have landscaping. We have utilities. We have a budget, anticipated needs and expenses for the base of Jesus' mission we call Daleville Christian Church. What is happening in our country is that mission bases are closing. Fewer people are on mission, but the mission continues. The mission continues whether there is a mission base or not. Jesus and the disciples did not have a mission base, and Jesus and the disciples still had a mission. I submit to you that no matter what happens to this base we call Daleville Christian Church, Jesus' mission continues. Jesus' mission continues until Jesus returns. But we love our mission base. That's okay. But we must never be confused, as some reporters are confused, that the mission is keeping the base standing. The mission base does not make the mission possible. The mission makes the mission base possible. The mission base is the cart. The mission is the horse. Do not put the cart in front of the horse. If you put the cart in front of the horse, your cart won't go anywhere and the horse will just be annoyed. Keep your mission horse in front of your mission base cart. Now, there are many ways to keep the base operational. Keep your mission base operational. The way Americans have done that is in the past, and for over 200 years, is to enlist people into the mission and have them join the mission. Americans have believed that to keep the cart, make sure your horse is healthy, your church is healthy, fed and watered and rested and exercised. That has never been easy to do in America, and it's becoming more and more difficult to do. It has become more difficult because more people generally do not consider themselves Christian. Many do not even want to be considered religious. People are not deciding which pulling team they want to work with. They simply are not even interested in participating in the pulling team of the church for the cart, the mission base. Even those who claim to be spiritual do not become part of a mission base. They do not participate in any pulling team at all, and they do not become a part of the mission, certainly not Jesus' mission. And how do I know that? Because Jesus said, "Go out and be a part of my mission." So if you're not a part of the mission, you can't be a part of Jesus' mission. Because Jesus says, "Go and be a part of my mission." So some churches have worked out other solutions. One option is simply not owning the base. Don't own the mission base. rent it or lease it from another entity, share it with another church as a mission base, or lease it from another nonprofit organization or retail space, like in a mall. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not suggesting any of these things for Daleville Christian Church. I'm just describing to you what's happening in this country. Now, let's talk about staffing for the missions. Churches, mission bases, have not always had their own full-time minister. The Apostle Paul himself was an itinerant skilled trade and earned income wherever he went while serving the mission. More and more pastors in America are going in that direction. They're called bivocational pastors. They are hired part-time by churches while they earn other income in another area. One of the problems in this country is that if the other job begins to offer more compensation or wants to move that staff person, the church becomes the loser of the staff person. I know two churches that exact thing happened to, one last week, the other also here in East Central Indiana. It's more of a problem in this country because too many people base their sense of worth on their income, and most people believe that more is always better. So when the other job offers more or will take you full time, that's where people tend to go. Some mission bases are sharing a pastor and other staff. So two churches or five churches share pastoral team, administrative assistants, custodial staff. Those congregations can buy more often in bulk for the several mission bases the staff serves. I shared with the elders that this is already happening among Christian churches in Indiana. The Methodist Church has done this for years. In the Methodist Church, for the pastors, it was called a two-point or a three-point charge. The churches usually had to be closely located to one another so the pastor could get to each one of the churches that the pastor served for the Sunday morning worship services. However, these days, some mega churches have several campuses, and the preaching pastor's message is video fed to the different campuses. I've visited churches like that. Now, we could look at other businesses and professions to see how they have changed, and while we look at these institutions, you might ask yourself, is the pastor's job like any of those jobs? What about your doctor? Do you even have one, or do you have a practice you go to and one of the doctors will see you? Is the pastor's job like a doctor? Well, we know that how and where and doctors and patients interact has changed. Some of you don't know, but in one of the area hospitals that I've been to for surgeries, you do not see the doctor face-to-face for the consultation post-surgery. It is video-fed into your video conference room where you may have a chat with the doctor via video camera. And by the way, getting doctors to serve in rural areas is getting harder and harder, just like it is getting harder to find clergy. What about malls and retail stores? By spring 2016, 36 Macy's stores closed across 20 states, 68 more Macy's stores were to close in 2017, and several more closings have already been announced for 2018. What that means is that closing stores is not just a local problem here. Closing stores is a retail problem, and it is nationwide. People are buying differently than they used to. People do not go to the point of sale to make a purchase. So, is a church worship service like a point of sale? You decide. Stores closing: Sears, Kmart, JCPenney, Payless Shoes, J. Crew, Gap Stores, Radio Shack, Abercrombie & Fitch, The Limited, H.H. Gregg, American Apparel, Staples, Family Christian Stores. With several more other companies, they represent 5,000 store closures across the country. 5,000 stores. And at the same time, consumer confidence is growing. People are buying, just not in stores. Entire malls are closing. So much for the churches who thought that moving to a mall was an answer to their mission-based problem. It's estimated that in the next 5 years in this country, one out of every four malls will close. Here in our town, the Outlet Mall opened in 1994. In this century, the Outlet Mall had to reinvent itself as the Heartland Business Center. It had to become something else in order to keep going. Toys R Us has filed for bankruptcy. Friends, there have been toy stores for over 100 years in this country, and even longer in Europe. Friends, 16 million people in this country work in retail. 66,000 of them lost their jobs just last year. My son-in-law's sister works at a retail establishment in the city that is now slated to be closed this year. Now, why am I going through all this? Well, three reasons. First of all, you and I love this church. We love Jesus. We love Jesus' mission, and we are very, very fond of our mission base here. So what we are talking about today is important. Secondly, we had a good year in 2017, speaking as a mission and as an institution. You will see, I hope, and read that in the annual report. We've done more in 2017 than we ever thought possible, and we're still doing it. It's a good time to say that. It being now the second Sunday in January, it's good to count our blessings as a church. It is good to celebrate Jesus' victory here at the church. And thirdly, if churches and pastors are like the medical community and medical delivery, if churches are like retail establishments or malls, then we need to ask ourselves, what is the next step for us? Can we continue as we have been doing? Or do we need to think outside the box? Or, I like Taco Bell's advertisement, we need to think outside the bun. We don't have to do anything today or even tomorrow, but we do need to think creatively. So here are the first two answers. First of all, 2017 was a good year as a mission and as an institution, so we can think about all these questions calmly. And we can think about them from a position of strength. We are not panicked. We are not frightened. We can hear God's most frequent commandment. Do you remember God's most frequent commandment? If you guessed love one another, I'm sorry, you're wrong. God's most frequent commandment to you is this: do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Can you remember that? Do we need to put that as one of our affirmations of faith? The most frequent command from God, directly from God, through his messengers, the angels, to all sorts of people on the earth: do not be afraid. Now, just as stores have moved online, this church has moved some of its mission online. We have more listeners online than we have in the pews. You and I should be glad and joyous for that fact. That's a blessing. This church offers something people want. The Word of God is available in many places, but many come to Daleville Christian Church's website to hear the Word of God. And that means that our online mission is bigger than our standalone mission base in the area of God's Word. There's room for some discussion on this point. So far, we have not obtained any financial support for that online ministry or from that online ministry. Okay, so what's the other good news? The other good news is that Jesus is Lord. And even better news, Jesus is your Lord and Jesus is my Lord. That's the only real hope for the future of the mission of the church. Friends, the truth is that much larger churches than ours have closed. The truth is that much better situated churches than ours have closed. Remember Robert Schuller's Crystal Cathedral, located in Garden Grove, California, in Orange County, California? That county continues to have five of the richest cities in the United States year after year after year. That's where Crystal Cathedral was located. At its peak, Crystal Cathedral's televised worship hour, the Hour of Power, had 20 million viewers. In 2011, the Crystal Cathedral filed for bankruptcy. And in 2012, the Crystal Cathedral building was sold. But the building was purchased by another church. Why? Because the mission continues, right? The mission remains. Jesus' mission is still there. But the church known as Crystal Cathedral, the mission base known as Crystal Cathedral, is not. Did Crystal Cathedral fail in its mission or fail in its faithfulness? I couldn't possibly make a harsh judgment like that. I would simply say that the challenges that that institutional church faced could not be overcome. No matter what is next for this church, we are called to remain faithful. The Bible tells us more than once to sing a new song, but I would have you notice it's a new song, but it's the same words. It's victory through Jesus. A new song, as just the same way Jesus said about his table, "Take and eat, take and drink. I will not drink again until I drink it new with you in the kingdom of God." We sing the song of victory now because Jesus has victory in our lives. We will sing it new when all things are made new, a new heaven and new earth. And so the martyrs are singing the new song as they were martyred in the end climax, as mentioned in the book of Revelation. And Jesus had the victory through them. The words are the same. Jesus is Lord. Praise be to God. Jesus Christ be praised. A new song. Ancient words. The Apostle Paul is recorded as calling only one church faithful. Colossians chapter 1, verse 2. And within 60 years, that same church was reprimanded by Jesus. Revelation chapter 2. The resurrected Jesus said to that church in Ephesus, "I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen." Ephesus was not the largest church in the ancient world. The church in Ephesus was not the largest church in the Apostle Paul's world. But because Americans love big things, small churches in America have had an inferiority complex for 150 years. Never mind the fact that every Christmas we are reminded that nobody important in Jewish circles was told by God about Jesus' birth. No one big in Jewish circles was told of the Messiah's birth. But we do read about people who were told about Jesus' birth. A carpenter, his betrothed, some sheep farmers, and some foreigners who were technically pagans until they came to Jesus. And we've never believed there were very many of them. But what does the Bible say about Mary and Joseph? The chosen pair, they were faithful. They were faithful. They were not chosen because they were strong enough to face Herod's soldiers who would come to kill the baby Jesus. They were not chosen because they were strong enough to put up a fight against Herod and Herod's soldiers. No, the faithful pair ran away. That was God's plan. Don't fight. Be faithful to my word. Don't fight. Be faithful. Don't be afraid. Be faithful. Congratulations, church. And the Lord continue to bless you in this mission station. Remain faithful. Amen.